Very good, I think we are. I'm making a couple of quick changes on my side, or at least organizing things. Hold on just a second. All right, we'll go ahead and call the facility, it's the wrong meeting, the communication subcommittee of the fire commission together. Welcome everybody this afternoon. Let's see if we've got a quorum. Who's representing the east today? Lee Price, maybe. You might see Lee.
All right. Hey, Chris, is Anderson the alternate?
Chris,
yeah.
Give me one second. I'm looking.
I'll go find him real quick. I think it's him. I'll go find him real fast.
While you're doing that, I'm going to go on around the county. On the south side, who's there? Yeah, All right. Chief Herman, thank you. On the west? Not hearing anybody from the west. On the north, who's representing from the north? All right. Herman, you get the star, the gold star for the only region rep.
Oh, boy.
Pete Perry, of course, you're the chair. Your region representatives, the north are Marcus Wells and Tyler Knickerbocker. South is Tim Herman, Hunter Byers. East region is Lee Price, Brian Amerson. West region is Jared Masker and David Sasser.
And Chief Perry, this is Hunter. I'm here, too.
Very good. Thank you, sir. I think Chief Staples is going after Chief Amerson.
I'm working on Amerson. Price is in class and definitely won't be here. I'm working on Amerson.
Okay. Darryl, were you keeping score? Well, with Amerson, will we have enough for quorum? I don't know if we got anything we need to vote on anyway, but nevertheless, so that we know.
You have five members of the committee, voting members, counting yourself. So if you have five now with yourself, Hunter Byers, and Hunter and Jim are same region. Never mind. You do need Amerson.
Okay. Gonna wait just a second then, just in case we need to vote on anything.
Chief Amerson's on his way back from lunch. He'll be on in just a few minutes.
All right. We're gonna go ahead and get started with the conversation then. If we got anything we need to vote on, we'll hold it until Chief Amerson gets here. Minutes are posted on the county's fire commission website, so they'll stand there should anybody need them for any reference there. Old business. We've got on there a couple of items on our agenda. I'm gonna flip-flop just a second. Talk about the mobile devices. We were in beta testing for the mobile devices with CAD, the update. For lack of a better term, we suspended it due to issues. Is anybody aware of if any of those issues have been addressed? I am not aware if any of those have been. Chief Herman, I know you were pretty tight with that process.
Yes, sir. We started back using it, and most of the issues have been addressed. We're still working through some, but the issues that required us to discontinue using them, mainly the routing and mapping, that's been fixed.
Okay. Good.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
Is that about the old or the legacy UX or the new UX?
The new one.
Okay, and Tim, you're saying that a lot of those mapping and routing stuff has been fixed on your side?
Yes, sir. To my knowledge, we've got it on our engine one, and they're using it daily. And I know they're working on some bugs. One of my captains over there has been
I was just going to pop this in there. This might be part of new business, Chris, but that we actually have a meeting coming up that we're going to be an on-site meeting with the product owner of the new mobile UX experience and everything from Central Square. He's going to be coming on site probably mid-April. And I know I'm going to have a couple other representatives from a couple other agencies, so it may be good to have potentially Brian or maybe yourself, Tim, if that allows for it, depending on how we can get everybody together in the same room. So, we're going to try to work through, because I know that EMS has had a whole lot of issues on their side of trying to use the new UX with regards to mapping and routing and other things. So we're going to try to hammer all those out that day. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I just wanted to clarify about which client you're using as well. So.
Yeah, I've got the new UX as well, but I mean, I don't run the calls, but that's why we've got it on Engine One. So they're running, you know, several a day with it. And I think we've got a list going. We just need to get Papipiak. I don't know if he's on the call or not, but he should have a fairly good list of issues.
Tim, can we circulate that list of all those that are using it? You know, we came up with an initial beta user group, for lack of a better term, of machines. I think we're probably at a good place to say here, these are the list of items that are outstanding. Some of them, PPIAC has told us that it was, you know, nothing that he could change, you know, not necessarily new functionality, but functionality we had in the old client, but we don't have anymore. For example, you know, you can't see the units that are on a call from the call screen, the summary screen. It just says like one unit plus three. So you can't tell who it is, and you know the color coding of the units and some of those other things that I have to physically restart my client about every day, or calls just sit on it for days on end if you don't. They never disappear.
Yes, sir.
That may be helpful for Bob to have when he has those discussions.
Yeah, do we know anybody else that's still using? I know Fuquay was one. Chief Pope, I believe you were a beta test. Are y'all using it?
No, not us.
Okay. So I don't think PPAC needs to be on this meeting to say why, you know, do we want to go back to beta testing what everybody is in? Because I think it is working well enough to be testing to get more eyes and ears on it.
I agree. I'm guessing, Tim, you've got the most comprehensive issue list. Do you mind sending that either to me or to the group, whichever works best, and then we'll kind of add on to that list?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Any other updates or questions or comments on the mobile devices? And then kind of backtracking back around on the agenda, had discussion of any old CAD-related items. Anything that was out there that we need to discuss this morning that was we need to address? I'm not aware of any, but sometimes there's stuff floating around that we need to hit. So,
is it safe to say, I think this is more of a budget, maybe, and Daryl can answer this, or that pre-plan software, is that a done deal? Are we definitely getting that come July 1?
Well, it's in the staff recommended budget, so as long as that goes through, it is a done deal. Well, I take that back. There's a very important step that that Joe and I have got to get through, and that's convincing Tom Wester that we want to buy this sole source, because if you go out to bid on a product and write the RFPs and all, it could be another vendor to come in. So, but it's in the budget.
Okay. I just know that was kind of part of this committee's push to get pre-planning linked to CAD and all that, so I was just kind of curious.
Anything else could kind of go under category of old CAD related items? Very well. Any other old business before I move to new business? All right, sounds good. Let's move to new business, and I think that'll be the bulk of our meeting today. Not necessarily anything of grave importance, but a lot of discussion that I'm interested in getting involved in. The first item on our list for new business is Mayday policies. And so at a risk of telling you a lot of information that you may find wordy at the least, kind of update you on where we're at. There was a committee designated. It got some start in the Chiefs Association and from a couple others, but to develop a countywide Mayday policy so that the Maydays wouldn't be different. And whether it's Cary, Raleigh, anywhere in the county, we were using a single Mayday policy. So there was representatives from all of those various agencies on that committee. The committee sent word to me that one of their stumbling blocks was a communications issue. Although they don't intend to use the emergency button on the radio as the primary Mayday notification piece, they acknowledge that it is a option for Maydays. I think their intentions is it calling the Mayday on the channel that occurs as being the primary, but there could be a situation when someone uses the emergency button. Well, that's where the problem comes in, because if, and I've worn this example out, but I'll stick with it because it seems to be working. If there's a fire somewhere in the area of Swift Creek and Cary, and potentially even Raleigh firefighters being there, the Cary firefighter and the Swift Creek firefighter who are on the same attack line, if each one of them hits their emergency button, those emergency transmissions go in two different directions. One goes to Cary, one goes to Raleigh. The radios don't act the same, and that makes it very, very difficult to manage from a Mayday perspective. How do you manage that when, you know, two potential members and their radios are doing two totally different things? So what I have done in preparation for today's meeting is met with Frank Hall, along with Joe and Daryl and myself, met with Frank to talk about radio capabilities. And here's what we've been able to find out. We're currently using a non-tactical or a revert emergency. And you guys are familiar. You mash the button, you hold the emergency button. It reverts that radio to a monitored talk group, FD emergency on the Wake County side anyway. And that's how our radios are set. I also remember that was very intentional in the early days of 800 megahertz in Wake County, because there was a fear that someone could potentially hit the emergency button and that notification go unnoticed. So the fear was that if we didn't use the revert, someone could be at a training fire or some other event, press their emergency button, and nobody would hear it, and that emergency would go completely unanswered. And it's for that reason that we chose the non-tactical, the revert emergency. The other option that some people use, and I'm not familiar, some of y'all may know, I'm not sure what Cary uses, but is the tactical emergency, where when you mash the emergency button, it sounds the same alarms and that kind of things, but the radio stays on the talk group that it's assigned. That has a lot of benefits in the scenario that the Mayday group has brought forth, that if the radio stays on the same talk group, it really doesn't matter if it's Cary operating in the county or a county person operating inside of Cary. Whatever talk group they're on, the radio stays on that talk group. And then from their own, the Mayday policy would dictate whether the Mayday is handled right then and there on that talk group. If the operations are moved to another channel, maybe there's capacity within the incident to handle it. Whatever, that would be dictated by the Mayday policy, but it's not a limitation of the radio. So we talked about those two options, and it's always been you got to get one or you got to get the other. Part of our conversation yesterday was that we can make that selection of tactical or non-tactical by the talk group. And I think that gives us some opportunities that potentially we could say that if the radio is on an ops channel or attack channel, where it's an ongoing incident, so to speak, there's more people on the radio than the radio could conceivably stay on the channel that it's on and stay in that tactical emergency perspective. And then if we chose to, we could leave it on non-tactical for all the other talk groups. So if you find yourself on, I think the example we used yesterday, you're on event six and, you know, somebody comes out of the bushes and pulls a gun on you, you mash that emergency button, the radio would go to a known monitored talk group. So I know I've said a whole lot, I've thrown a whole lot at you, but I want to get the group's initial opinions on what I've thrown out there and thoughts on what that looks like as we try to work through this issue. Sounds good.
Initially thoughts on it is I kind of like what I'm hearing, that it just stays on that channel. Seems like that's going to be beneficial for the Wake County Raleigh Cary scenario you gave. And, you know, we do our best to, I know when you hit the button now that Raleigh Central will get the information on the emergency channel. We try to listen to that channel and monitor it as well, but it's not done 100%. So this way, it's going to allow that incident commander maybe to hear that mayday quicker.
And that's, I did talk to Chief Smith yesterday, who chairs the Mayday Committee. I ran this by him, not as a, this is what we were recommending, but here's a possibility. He was well satisfied with that as a possible solution. He said he thinks that addresses the issues that your committee had. But again, I told him I still wanted to bring it up to this committee. I don't know if, Chris, if Walton, if one of you guys, if there's a, issue that you think this may create on the ECC side, I don't know, maybe it makes it better, maybe it makes it worse. I don't know, but I just want to make sure everybody had a chance to kind of weigh in on it.
No, I think it's a good thing. I don't see any problem with it at all. It'd be something that I guess you want to jointly between everybody. It could be drafted, the verbiage and everything. Judy is responsible for our policies and procedures after getting it reviewed. I don't think it'd be any problem to it at all.
And that's a really good point, because we talked about it yesterday in our conversation, that with a change such as this, We would really need to be sure that we've got good policies that outline the change, what's different, and that way it can be shared among all the different agencies. Especially, you know, if the call occurs, for lack of a better term, on the Cary side, then Cary ECC knows that they handle that emergency. We think there's work to do, but technically, to approach the technical side of it, it sounds like a good idea. We just, again, wanted to vet it through as many different groups before we kind of head that direction.
Chief Barry, remind us, so the committee working on the Mayday is represented by Raleigh Fire, Cary Fire, and Wake County. Is that true?
That is correct. We would probably, I know to some extent, EMS has the emergency functionality as well. Not that it necessarily has to be changed in everybody's radio, but I think to get their at least get their buy-in on this is what we're talking about doing, I think they're at least a partner in the project, if nothing else. But you're right, both Raleigh and Cary sit on that Mayday committee that's kind of driving it. Should we decide to proceed in this direction? So we, it's our next item on the agenda, and I'm not quite moving there yet, but, you know, we've got radio programming coming up in the summer. So my hopes would be that we could work out the particulars on it between now and the summer, the July timeframe, so that that could be incorporated into reprogramming and we don't have to make any kind of special pass to make this change. So. any other comments that anybody has on the idea of the Mayday policy and how it relates to our emergency talk group usage? Very good. If you think of something, that's kind of what I say. I threw a lot of information at you. If you think about that and something hits you, oh, we didn't think about this, whatever, please reach out to me, because it's definitely, we're in the stage where we can sleep on this thing and think about it a little bit. I really do think at this point this is our best way to proceed, but I want to make sure that we really think it through as well as we can. So I will make a note, and I think I failed to mention earlier, Chief Amerson is on the call, has been on the call. I failed to mention it, but for the audio recording, we do have a sufficient for quorum, and Chief Amerson, welcome to the group, buddy. Hate to pull you in right there in the middle of whatever you were doing.
No problem at all. Thank you. And I do like your idea with the emergency button. That's always, as incident command, it's a fear that, you know, they mash the button and it kicks them off the channel. I know 911's monitoring them, but as an incident commander, you try to keep up with everybody, and that's a real concern. So I do like that idea.
Thank you very much.
Chris,
go ahead.
You going to let Amerson get away with mash?
Yeah.
Mash the button.
Chief Amerson, we talked about that yesterday. We press buttons. We don't mash them. I know that's I see mash too. So we were trying to be correct in our mashing buttons. But I said the same thing yesterday, because that's what I do. I mash a button when I needed to do something.
Well, I guess Eastern North Carolina coming out of it.
That's exactly right. That's it. We'll stick with it. It's served us well. We'll stick with it. That moves us into radio code plugs, and I just want to give just a brief update. I don't have a lot of information, but I want to tell you what I do know. Frank Hall and I have had conversations. They are still on schedule to begin radio reprogramming for the fire units in early July, most likely the second week of July. They are working on some law enforcement radios now, or finishing up law enforcement with intentions of moving to EMS, and then after EMS comes county fire. So with that, as was before, and I described this just as an educational perspective, and if we need to do something different, now's the time to kind of encourage that. There's two basic ways of handling the code plugs. There's the county fire code plug, which is pretty much standard for that matter. County fire in itself is pretty standard, but the county fire code plug that's used in any department that's not affiliated with a municipality is the same. And then Frank works with each individual department to make tweaks. So for example, if you're Northern Wake and you want to make sure you've got Granville County talk groups in a very accessible location, then he's amenable to doing that. Likewise, if you're Wake Forest, you've got the Granville, they got the Franklin County. Well, that's a bad example, because Wake Forest falls under municipal fire, but you get the point anyway. Hopkins with Franklin County and so forth. So you end up with the county code plug with adjoining county tweaks, for lack of a better term. And then the other version of that, and I guess in some respects it's nothing any different. You've got a municipal fire code plug that has its tweaks, which typically involves maybe your local municipality talk groups, maybe some law enforcement or public utilities or whatever the local municipality has that gets introduced, as well as if you've got neighboring counties that you need talk groups that are associated with that. So all in all, it probably Frank kind of splits it up into two groups. It's probably barely just one group, because everything is based off of that same county fire talk group plan that we try to keep as consistent as we can across the county. Frank has got recommended changes for those as a whole, where as we move to using P25 and changes that he's already recommending, and then the idea would be to kind of narrow that down into that that one county code plug, and then he would begin working with each of the local departments to get the tweaks that each one of them needs. It's been a while since we've had the code plug update, so Nash County is now on the Viper system where they weren't the time before, and I'm sure there's other changes around the county that will incorporate that may get incorporated, you know, in the interoperability zone and stuff such as that. So that's one function of the whole radio reprogramming project. Another part would be the call list. Many departments use the call list, and if the way Frank describes it, and I think it's easy for me to understand, is an address book that is programmed into each radio so that when a six-digit ID number comes to that radio, the radio knows that that six-digit ID number equals this alias. It actually works within the radio. It's not a system setting. So each department may choose to say, hey, I just want to be able to see the aliases of our department. So when engine one keys up the radio, it shows on my screen that that's engine one keying up the radio without me even having to recognize who may be talking or hear what they say. That burden is on the department to say, this is who we want in our call list. We've always tried to keep those fairly generic as compared, you know, maybe it's a, we minimize the use of names as much as possible so that if the names change, we don't have to reprogram radios. Some have elected to use something a little bit more specific, but we just need to know that, If you're very, very specific with your call list, you may find yourself having to live with it for a little bit longer as it, you know, you're not going to get weekly updates because somebody's name has changed or someone's position changed. So it may sit in there a little longer than what you desire should you choose to use something very specific. So, but that's something that we'll get out to each department. Get your call list of who you want. In your radio, who do you want it to decode, if you will? And then Frank then can go ahead and start building those so when they program your department's radios, then they can insert that as well. I'll pause for just a second to see if anybody's got any questions or comments on those two items of code plugs and the call list. We do have a little bit of time. I've kind of been pushing Frank a little bit because some of you recall we've gotten into this stage of the game somewhat late in times before. So I've started pushing Frank a little bit early to go ahead and get started on this. That way we're not pushing right up against a hard date of trying to get the radios programmed, and we're still talking about which talk group needs to go where, because once we start rolling that out, I won't say it's impossible, but it's very, very difficult to stop the train and say, oh, we need to back up because we forgot to add this talk group. Let's go back and put that one in. That is definitely, we want to try to get all of that nailed down before we start that programming process. So far on that for radio programming before I move to one other piece of the radio programming.
Just a side note on the A-list, Chief. You know, it's real important to have that updated because that goes in line with the emergency button. Or, because Raleigh Central can see that as well. Your neighboring department may not see who it is, but they'll call out what they see on that alias. And I know in the past we've had problems, they didn't have an updated list. So we just need to make sure they have the most recent list uploaded to the proper place for that.
Yeah, Chief Herman's exactly right. Typically what Frank does, if you send him information and say radio 12345, it used to be engine one, but now it's engine five. He puts that in your radios, but he also updates the master list to make sure that the consoles have the updated information as well. So very, very good point, Chief. It serves a dual purpose because, yeah, when you hit the emergency button, you don't want it saying, you know, that it's one person, but it's actually someone else. You know, to have those as accurate as possible. The other question that is in front of us and something just to think about, the question has come up as in who should be able to program radios? You know, is it okay for anybody to program radios? And there's obviously different opinions on that. And quite honestly, I'm not sure that our committee is the gatekeeper of who should program radios and who can't program radios. But we were asked to weigh in and at least kind of put our thoughts out there. The concern is that someone could potentially either, A, use someone that is not trained or does not, for lack of a better term, somebody's just in there, you know, trying to make changes that really may not know what they're doing. So, A, to make sure that whoever that is doing this training is trained and they know what they're doing. It's definitely the preference of the county that it either be county IT radio staff or their designated vendors that are allowed to do that. The second part of that is if someone reprograms or programs a radio and accidentally or whatever puts in the wrong information, where does that liability reside? So, you know, I program a radio, I put the wrong code in there, and then when I key up on a radio and I start calling and needing help, but nobody answers me because the radio is not working as it should, who assumes the liability for that? And then the last question that comes up is who's monitoring talk groups that are authorized to be used? So I'll use the same example of me programming radios. I program radios, and in my radio, I put some super secret talk group that nobody's supposed to have, but now I just put it in my radio because I found the code on Google, and now I've compromised somebody's operations or somebody's safety because I'm an unauthorized user. So that's where some of the concerns came up. And I guess I'll pause it there a second to say, you know, I guess we can break this thing down. Does anybody have strong feelings about our role in this conversation? Does anybody think that we should be the one saying, no, you can, and yes, you can, as far as being the gatekeepers? Or are we just basically more of a group that can say, hey, here's what we think about it, and you can take that for what it's worth? I'll tell you, mine is more in the last group, but I want to make sure that I open that up for the committee's conversation. I'm going to get me one of the little cricket sound bites that I can just kind of interject from time to time. Let me change the question then. Does anybody feel that we should be the gatekeepers of who can and who cannot touch radios and who can make? Does anybody feel strongly that, yes, I think that this committee should be the gatekeepers?
Chris, I always thought of it, and Frank, look at him as the gatekeeper on that. I don't know. I mean, do we represent that side of it?
So I think what's happening is Frank is the gatekeeper in a lot of respects because he can set passwords. If you and I can say this because I asked the question. If I called mobile communications and said, "Hey, I don't program radios, but I want you to program this super secret talk group that nobody else. I want you to program it into my radio." Then by policy, they contact Frank and say, "Is it okay for him to have it?" And then Frank says his response to that is, have I been authorized? So if I produce, for example, a letter from the sheriff that said, yes, he can have that in his radio, then they all. But, yeah, I think from a day-to-day perspective, Frank is the gatekeeper. The concern comes in is things are happening and things are occurring without Frank being consulted. But I agree that may or may not be an issue, but I just don't know that it's up to this committee to be the for me personally, and maybe this, and I guess I'll throw this out there, and you guys can say you agree or don't agree. For me personally, here's where I'm at. One, anybody that programs a radio must be trained and know what they're doing. And you can define that ever how you want to, but they must be trained. And secondly, if you hire someone or don't hire, you get someone to make changes in your radio, you have essentially assumed the liability for whatever you or the person you hired may do wrong. If you're using somebody other than the county's authorized programmers, you have taken on the liability of something may not be right. And then lastly, you got to use the talk groups that you're authorized to use. Those are kind of the three parameters. I would think if you've got a person that is trained, they know what they're doing, they're educated, they're willing to say, yep, I know what I'm doing, and I'll take the liability, and I know better than to put stuff in there that I shouldn't. I don't know that I personally have a big heartache with it, but it just, that's kind of my little three measures of is it okay or not. So I'll throw that out there, and you guys can agree, you can disagree, you can whatever, but that's just me personally.
Chris, can I add a little context?
Sure.
So we password, Wake County password protected the code plug last time it was put in. But, there is a way around that. You simply wipe the whole radio, and the password goes away, and you reprogram it in from scratch. And I tend to agree with Chris, but I think it should go a little further. If X Fire Department chooses to program their radio with not Frank's group or their authorized vendors, I think that they should at least send an email or a letter to Frank saying, we have reprogrammed our radios, and we do assume liability. And, again, I don't think the Communications Committee should be the gatekeeper.
I agree with that. We can recommend all we want. It sounds like you got somebody that's doing this already, and it's just an issue. I think Wake County Fire needs to take up issue with it, because this committee ain't going to be able to stop that.
Yeah, I don't know that it's Wake County Fire. I think it's more Wake County IT, because they own the system, and for me are the gatekeepers of the radio.
Right.
And I think, Chief Herman, from what I understand, the little three rules of the game, so to speak, what's happening may be completely within that. The issue is nobody really just don't know, because they know programming is occurring, but really once it kind of leaves Frank and MCA's their realm, they don't know what's going in the radios to know if it's right, wrong, authorized, unauthorized. They don't know. So it's a lot of unknown there.
Do you think it's a lack of knowledge, or is it just they don't want to do business with Frank or MC or whatever?
I think part of it, just from some conversations I've had, is that it's the department or departments are just meeting needs. They've got needs for – let me give you an example. Let's say that I discussed in the radio programming about the code plugs for each department. Well, maybe a department comes up and says, you know what, we don't want one code plug. We want four, because I want a different set of code plugs for my officers and a different set for this whatever. And it's easier to work – it may be easier – to work through someone to have that developed program done. Maybe it's cheaper, I don't know, but I think they're just meeting their needs. They're just going through different avenues to meet those needs.
And I just say that, we've all kind of learned on the fly. I don't know if the official information of how to do some of this, so maybe it was done by accident, but personally, anything we've ever needed for Frank, he seems to bend over backwards to work on it and make it happen.
Yeah. Daryl, are we at a good enough place? With you've heard the conversation, and you saw some of the requests that came our way. Are we at a good enough place where we're at, just as the committee discussed it, and with that, or do we need to go further?
No, I think you're at a good space. I think I can craft an email and get your bio phone and send it to Frank and say, Frank, add to this, and I'll be glad to send it out for you. And I think it revolves back around of that if you choose to program your radio, you let Frank Hall's group know, and you've assumed the liability.
Yeah. That sounds good for me. I'm good with that. Any other comments before we move to the next item? Very good. Horizon, MDT replacements. Darryl, do you want to talk about that?
Sure, and hold on 1 second here. Actually, and Joe and I met with the IT team earlier this week, and where we landed at, and I owe y'all and the municipal partners another email. We're going to, Joe, make sure I understand this right, because we went two different places, so make sure I say this right. We're going to continue with the MDT only replacement in 24. And then after that, the next four-year cycle in 28, that's when we would be doing MDT, cradle point, antenna, and also the price that Chris, that I shared with y'all a while back at a meeting with the municipal, is going to be considerably lower. And I owe y'all that so y'all can make sure y'all get that in your budgets for 24. And that is supposed to take place. They will probably start doing the some of the departments in May or June and then crossing over into the next fiscal year. But all the invoicing or whatever we end up doing to get the municipal cost shares would take place in fiscal year 24. Joe, did I capture that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think the only thing that I have different is if the docks still fit, then they will not change the dock out until year three, which or the 12th year.
That's correct. Yeah, as long as the dock is working correctly and it ain't broke and it ain't loose, I think their plans are to leave it in there as long as it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions anybody has for Darryl on those?
This, and just, I don't think it's anybody on, but for, I think I've said this before, but for Morrisville and Apex, who weren't part of the MDT purchase because they went on Carrie's system, if they'll get me their figures, their numbers, so we can put them into our seven-year plan, seven-year model, we'll be glad, the county will be glad to cost share their portion of those replacements as well.
Last call for comments on MDT replacements. All righty. So one other item. Go ahead, Derek.
I will give y'all some kudos. The IT staff who works on, all the computers all across the county were very complimentary on the way that the County Fire Service as a whole has taken care of their equipment. They're not seeing issues with computers and things in the fire service like they see in other moving vehicles around the county, whether that be, inspections or EMS or any. They didn't single anybody out, but they were very complimentary on the way that we're taking care of our stuff.
Very good. Very good. I've got one item to add to new business. I probably should have addressed this at the beginning, but it's kind of new business. It's kind of old business. We'll just kind of wrap it all up into that same category. So many of y'all know we've been using Active 911 for a long time in one capacity and now another. But we're at a stage, and for everybody's benefit, Active 911 was originally established on the county side of the CAD feed, basically on the same side of the CAD feed as the alphanumeric paging. We learned a couple years ago, that seems like a long time ago, but honestly, that probably was when it was, that the feed that comes through alphanumeric is very limited. It's limited in information. So we explored... and I guess it was about the time, Bob may remember, but I guess it was about the time when we brought TriTech online, we explored a second active 911 CAD feed directly from CAD. So if you can imagine, legacy active 911 gets its data from the alphanumeric paging side of the system, through the Wake County feed. Newer version comes directly from CAD. There's a lot much more information that comes through if you get the direct CAD feed, as well as the system can be set to update as additional units are added to the call. The call can re-alert. The call can be upgraded. You see the upgrade come through. I like it because it's more redundant. If you're using the CAD feed of Active 911, should that feed go down, alphanumeric continues to work normally. They're not directly related, and I'm getting a little bit too far out on the limb, Bob, on the tech side, but in basic terms, it's possible for one side to be up and the other side to be down, as compared to under the old legacy side, if the link between the CAD system and the Wake County circuit, if that link goes down, then you lose Active 911 and alphanumeric paging. So I find consolation in the fact that they're two different systems. For various reasons or another, we've moved people from the legacy side to the new side. Either they've had issues that have come up and we thought that was the best way to do it, but we feel like, and this was something that Kristen Cole originally brought up to us to consider, that we may be at a good time to go ahead and move everybody over now to the new CAD feed. There's really no the biggest reason to do that, other than the advantages and the differences that I just explained, is that way when somebody says, I've got an active 911 problem, it basically sits on one side of the house. Now when somebody says, my active 911 doesn't work, we got a triage. Are you on the old side or the new side? And based on how you answer those questions, it's different people that work on it. So I know Chief Herman, I know Garner's on the new side. Hunter, I think Holly Springs is as well. Comments for those who may be on the legacy side on how that's working out for you.
I think it's great. I don't know that it's as fast. I don't feel like it's as fast now as it originally was, but I still think it's a lot faster. Excuse me, than the old way. But as far as, like you said, Chief, the updates and stuff like that, I think what you want out of it is kind of limitless, as long as you'll sit down and put the time into making it what you need. But we love it.
Yeah, same here. No issues. I will say, if we do push this out, it takes, make sure we pass along how much pre-work has to be done on the active 911 side to build those filters. Not that you have to do it, but letting them know it's not as easy as just at Raleigh Wake switching over, right?
That is correct. And we've had some discussions with another department this week, and that's exactly what I explained, Chief Herman, was, it's not as easy as calling up and saying, switch me over. There's a multi-step process, and to get it working and in the queue the other, because if not, you end up getting alerts from both sides of the house, and nobody wants that. So from the committee's perspective, we talked about, Daryl and I have talked about sending out an email to all the chiefs and saying, hey, this is an option for you. And see, most people, and I think Hunter and Tim could attest, most people, if you show them both ways of doing it, I don't know of anybody that's going to want to stay with the old one. Because when we first started working with it, it was a little rough around the edges, but it's, as Hunter described, you've got a lot more flexibility in what you can do with the product. I actually worked with Active 911 yesterday because we were having a little issue, and the other ones may have already fixed this issue, but if a call got upgraded, it was retaining the old incident type, not the upgraded incident type, and they corrected that issue yesterday so that when a call gets upgraded and you're getting update pages, for example, we had one this weekend or last weekend. It was dispatched as a fire alarm, and then it gets updated to a structure fire. Well, when the subsequent pages come out, it would continue to come out as fire alarm. Well, now they fixed it where they do show the structure fire. That is also helpful with the Bravo 9s because a call comes out, it falls in the Bravo 9 incident type, and then once the EFD process is complete, the call type may get tweaked and changed a little bit. And if it does, now Active 911 is pushing out that new incident type. So that was a change I've been looking for a while. So glad to see that one taken care of. But we can, I guess there's a couple different ways we can do it. We can either just say, hey, who wants to change? Or we can start working with departments to go ahead and move them over. That may be, although, as I told Darrell, we may want to be very strategic because I don't want to be unfair to the Raleigh Wake staff, the Active 911 staff, or anybody else and say, here's 15 that need to be done. It needs to be kind of spread out, staggered, so we can kind of handle them one at a time and get them moved over. But just want to see what the preference is of the committee.
Steve, I don't think anybody's going to say no. I agree with you. I think it's just, like you know, you got to have Raleigh Wake 911 and Active 911 ready to work at the same time. That's going to be your kind of your hard part.
I agree.
Yeah, and you may can reach out. I know when I reached out to Active and said, hey, we want to do the same thing Zebulon did, he was very familiar with it. I think it was a lot of copy and paste maybe. So if we reach out to Active and say, hey, here's what's coming, maybe they could, it may be easier on their end to know what departments are left. I don't know. They could work on it at one time.
That sounds good. Anybody have any oppositions? I think probably we'll let between us and probably county staff or more specifically Joe, we'll work through to kind of talk about how the best way to roll this thing out. Josh Hardesty and some of the different, get the players involved and we'll figure out Active 911. But I think we're probably, like you said, I think if we gave them an option, I think everybody would want to switch anyway. So let's go ahead and move over everybody, and that way we don't have the person that says, hey, you know, mine's not doing right, and we send them to the wrong person, because unfortunately that's kind of what's happening now, because we just you could be one, you could be the other.
Hey, Chris, I got kind of a related question, and I'm not by no means suggesting we do away with Active, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we do get the first new software, it's very similar to Active and has an individual piece to it. Are we purchasing that piece as a county? And if so, is it the same as Active, if not better? And would we ever look to switch to that as a whole, one account?
So that's a question for you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the scope of work just to see if that's included. So I'm not sure if that's in there or not. I know it does have some component where the call pops up, because that's how it that's how the pre-plan pops up for where you're going. But I'm not 100% sure if it's how similar to Active 911 it is.
Yeah, I think it was during the second demo. I kind of felt like it was a very similar, if not the same, if not better. But however, that was an additional, I'll call it a module, I don't know, where everybody could have access on their cell phone. I think the question came up, is this just on the MDT or is it available on every cell phone? He said, yeah, it was. But I think that's, I don't know if that comes with what we purchased or not. I know it's, you know, that would be a big.
Yeah, so it comes with mobile response, where it said, and it says mobile response, iOS, and Android applications, which includes dispatch notifications, routing, and incident layering mapping. So I'm wondering if it's wrapped up in there.
Right. And I don't know what it looks like. It may not be something we're interested in. Just, I was curious about that.
Yeah, we can definitely check on that and see.
If and Chief Urban, I'm with you. Let's say, for example, that this product does meet our needs and we like it as well or even potentially better than Active 911, I would definitely be in favor of looking at it and evaluating and making a very informed decision of, you know, maybe before we convert everybody over, kind of run through and see what our options are, because you're right, we could essentially move to that and that may take care of all of this.
Yeah,
This is something to be to think about.
Yeah. I mean, there's pros and cons to it. I mean, it was a countywide thing. The con I see right off the bat, you and I as administrators of Active 911, I can add someone in 2 seconds, take them off, change things, where if that's a county-run thing, that's an issue.
Yeah. That's one of those things that we've really we talk about doing that in a lot of other, especially the pre-plans and a lot of different parts about, you know, decentralizing so that there's not one person that's got to do all of that. And Active 911, that wasn't the way we intended to go into it, but that's how we've ended up. If we've really decentralized that where we're handling all of that at the local level. So,
yeah.
Joe, we'll look to hear from you before we make any. You're going to be kind of the, from what I'm gathering, you're going to be at the center of the Active 911 rollout and or possibly this other project as well. So we'll look to you as far as some guidance on as we continue to kind of work through this and decide what's the best route to go.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll still be with public health for probably another 2 or 3 months, but I'll help out as needed. And then, of course, once I transition back, I will definitely be a part of this. But I will send an email to First Due and see if I can get some information on possibly utilizing this to replace Active 911 and get that information back to you guys.
That sounds great. Well, very good. I've been through the agenda plus an item. So I'll open it up, see if anybody has anything else that we need to discuss today. Well, very good. As always, I appreciate everybody's time. Appreciate you bearing with us.
Chief Barron.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was trying to get to my unmute button. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Just two situations that's occurred that I just wanted to make note of. That is probably something we probably never thought would happen in call types. Plane in the lake. I know that's, you know, we don't have a call type for that and never thought we would need one. We ended up with a plane crash run order with tankers and everything, you know, everything just like it was a plane that had crashed on the land. Maybe just something to look at in the future. If, you know, let's hope that never happens again. But that was sort of an odd one I want to bring to your attention. And also prescribed fires. I know it probably affects us and probably Apex and Holly Springs area with state parks more than anybody. But you're getting into the fire season and people don't tend to be able to read signs. Recently, they burned 200 acres on Highway 50. There were two great big large orange signs in both directions, prescribed fire, do not report. And people still reported. And by all means, I understand the communication center feels an obligation. They've got to dispatch somebody, you know, to that location. And sometimes it ends up being some people see smoke from a ways off. And we have a prescribed fire group email that goes out. And in that email, the only two that I see, this is maybe a question for Bob, is supervisors at Raleigh Wake email group and also Jonathan Leal. Is there maybe a more efficient means to be able to get this information where it needs to be so maybe we can cut down on the amount of unneeded dispatch to prescribed fires? Bob?
Chief, I'm not quite sure about the distro list on that piece. That may be an operations piece that you might want to get with Jonathan Liao on.
Okay.
There is, and I'm just bringing this up because we have like utilized every part and piece of this CAD system yet in 2 years. So there is a burn permit manager module in CAD that we have not put into place or utilized at all that I can recall. I don't think we tested it early on in, you know, pre-go live. So that is definitely something that we can look at and do some testing on the training side of CAD, the testing side of CAD, not in production, to see if we put a burn permit in there and And what does that look like when a call is entered in that area, and how do we manipulate that to notify the dispatcher, hey, don't dispatch this, there's a burn permit for this. So that may be something that may eliminate some of those unneeded dispatches, but other than that, the district list would have to go through operations.
Okay, sounds good. And as far as that burn permit side, is that something that me and you can work on, or is that something you can work on, maybe get back with us? What do you think there?
Yeah, I can take a look at it first and see if I can get it to – I do some research on it and reading up and see how the module works to see if we can use that in any way. And I'll reach out to some other dispatch centers, too, to see who we were on this CAD to see if anybody else is using it and how it works out for them. So.
That'd be great. Thanks, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? I definitely don't want to cut you off if you got a comment. I'm looking to see the mute light go off because somebody's got something that they want to look
but
like.
Bob, this is Daryl. Could you get with Dominic or Pap or whomever and see who we need to get? Joshua Robinson, if you remember, Dominic had assigned him to this committee, and I think Joshua no longer works with y'all.
Yeah, he's been gone for about 2 months. So I'm not sure who else would – are you talking about somebody from operations on here?
Well, it doesn't matter. We got a voting spot for a Raleigh Wake member, and Joshua was serving in that spot.
Okay. I'll get up then.
Okay.
You know, Chris did it for a while. He's back on the call today, so he might be a good one to do it.
He might be a good one to do it.
Chief Perry, this is Steve Cody.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So I was the one who took Josh's position, so I am now sitting in his role. I'm now the QA supervisor for Raleigh Wake 911.
Very good. Welcome to the group.
If you will remind me to put that on the fire commission agenda to get Chief McGee to wave his wand.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. The very good. Anybody else got anything else? Very good. Well, I appreciate your time today, as always. Feel free to reach out if something comes up or you think more about anything we've discussed today, and we'll definitely be on the lookout for those, but unless we have anything else, we'll stand adjourned. Thank y'all.